Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Time now for Soccer City on your home for Louisville City FC, ESPN 680, 105.7, and the ESPN Louisville app. Now, here's the latest on Louisville's professional soccer club.
Coming up, Lou City is in first place in the USL, 6 points clear of their closest competition after a win on the road at Pittsburgh last night. We'll look back on that win and also look ahead at what is to come for Louisville City. By the way, they've got a home game this weekend at Lynn Family Stadium that we will preview for you. Racing Louisville, they are still in the playoff picture in the National Women's Soccer League, but they've lost two straight games, including last night on the road in L.A. against Angel City. We'll look back at that one and try and decide if Racing Louisville is going to be a long-term playoff contender over the rest of the season. And we're looking ahead to the Women's Cup tournament, which is returning to Lynn Family Stadium later on this summer. We'll speak with the CEO of that event, J.P. Rainall. All that and more coming up on Soccer City, which is, of course, your very favorite soccer-specific radio show every Thursday from 6 to 7 here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. My name is Jeff Milby. Jonathan Lintner is in once again, the Vice President of Communications and Marketing, or is it Marketing Communications? I can't remember ever.
You got it right one of those times.
Yeah. And then Spencer Brown, who is sizing up. He's sending in his ring size to the Celtics after their championship earlier this week. Very thrilled wearing his Celtics cap. He is our producer tonight here on ESPN 680 105.7. Jonathan, let's just jump into last night. So much to talk about with two games. We had a doubleheader last night with both Racing Louisville and Louisville City in action. Different results for the two teams. But let's start maybe a little bit big picture. It was a cool night for Louisville soccer fans because it was a doubleheader on national TV on the same channel. CBS Sports Network last night. That was just cool to see. And I'm sure everybody listening to the show that is a soccer fan was planted on their couch for a doubleheader last night.
Yeah, it's pretty neat when you have teams in two different divisions, two different leagues, and they do that. I don't think it was done on purpose. It just came together like that. And we didn't really realize until last week. I was like, you know, hey, this is going to be kind of neat the way this links up. And, you know, I wish we would have gotten two wins out of it, of course. It looked like we were going to at least get a win and a draw until late stages of that Racing game. But, I mean, I think we continue to do things that are unique in soccer. And, I mean, anybody who was just flipping through the channels saw a lot about Louisville soccer last night, you know, whether they clicked on it or not.
Yeah, absolutely. Did see a lot about Louisville soccer last night. Let's start with the positive, the Louisville City result, another win on the road. For the boys in purple, their 11th win on the season puts them 6 points clear of their nearest competition in the USL standings. That right now is Charleston and also Indy 11. A little bit of a surprise. They've won 8 straight games.
I'm not sure they've lost 11. Since we beat them.
They have once. They lost to Charleston since then. They lost to Lou City, then they lost to Charleston, I think maybe one or two games later. And then since then, it's been a red-hot streak for Indy. And they've come from, after that little stretch, the loss to Louisville and Charleston, they were down in like 11th place in the East. 8 straight wins for them. They're now tied technically on points with Charleston in the standings. They're behind them on goal differential as it stands right now. But both of those teams are 6 points back of Louisville City. It's just another result on the road for Lou City where they kind of grind out a win. Certainly wasn't the high-flying performance that we've seen from them many times this year at home at Lynn Family Stadium. But you go on the road to Pittsburgh against a Bob Lilly coach team. I said it. We've all said it over the years about Bob Lilly. He's like the Tony Bennett of soccer. talking about the Virginia basketball coach. They are a defensive-minded team. They are a low-scoring team. They want to win every game 1-0 and keep you off the score sheet as long as they can. That's kind of how the game played out last night. And Jansen Wilson with a terrific goal, a really, really terrific goal with his right foot for the E-Town kid. What did you take away from that game last night, Jonathan?
Well, I think anytime you go to Pittsburgh, you kind of expect we'll take 0-0, right?
Yeah.
That's been the scoreline in 2022 and 2023. And so to go there and get that point, I mean, not just to win the game, but I mean, created a lot of quality chances, and I thought dominated the game. You look at the first half, there were three, four looks that we had that arguably should have been goals, and it didn't show up in the expected goals that you'd see through Opta or any of the stat categories there, but you know, three kind of point-blank looks where you're kicking it right at the goalkeeper and making it easy on him. So it's funny enough, then you get to the second half and it takes a goal like Jansen Wilson's where, you know, that's a one and how many times you hit the ball kind of goal to score and win. But that's kind of what it takes up there to beat them. And that's what Louisville City's done over the years. I couldn't believe it when I went back. They have not lost in 12 trips to Highmark Stadium.
Wow.
Going back to the very first season.
Does that include the weird U.S. Open Cup game they played? Do you remember that?
Am I remembering that? Yeah, correctly? So I guess it's 13 times.
Against like the Tartan Devils or some team like that?
I think that was a 9-0 game.
I think.
So not in 12 games against the Riverhounds.
Sure.
And that includes the conference semifinal, I think it was.
Right.
In 2018,
19? Yeah,
one of the two.
Yeah,
that Thalo had the head goals. So, I'm pretty sure that no other team in the USL can say that they have not lost to the Riverhounds in 12 trips there. So interesting stat to keep going there. But also the fact that, you know, I'm writing the preview going into Saturday's game and talking about, well, Lou City's on pace to have scored more goals in a season than any team in USL history, right there on points. And both of those are from the Phoenix Rising team back in 2019 that set just about every mark. But Louisville City is on the same trend lines of these sort of teams where you're talking about the best of all time in XXX, you know, on down the line categories. So special start, obviously not quite to the halfway point yet. So you don't want to start assuming anything, but if they keep going in this direction, it could be a special season.
Yeah, certainly. That's been the trend all year long. I've said it on this show. I've said it in conversations off the air. I think this is the best Louisville City team that we've ever seen in year 10 now. The most talented, the deepest, and obviously the results that they've been able to put up are just eye-catching with the big goal-scoring numbers at home. You touched on it. Could be the record-setting goal-scoring team come the end of the year. Let's go back to last night and talk a little bit about Jansen Wilson. He's a cool story. He's a kid from E-Town. I heard Mike Watts, I think, say this on a broadcast. I wasn't aware of it prior to, but Mike Watts said that he had been in training with Louisville City the last couple of years while he was still in college. So tell us and the listeners a little bit about what you know about Jansen Wilson, because from my point of view, in the preseason, it was kind of an under-the-radar signing. It was about halfway through the preseason, you put out a press release, they signed Jansen Wilson, local kid out of college, and I said, okay, you know, he's going to fill up a roster spot, he's going to be a guy on the team, good story, local kid. Comes out and is a starter from day one, is a regular contributor from day one. It's a conversation right now whether you want him or Aiden McFadden to start at right wing back. They're both going to play a lot, and they both played a lot, and both have been really impactful. But from where I was sitting, he kind of came out of nowhere this year, but it seems like maybe behind the scenes, Danny Cruz and the coaching staff and Louisville City as an organization might have known what they were getting in Jansen Wilson a little bit.
Well, maybe Danny Cruz did downstairs. We didn't know that about
sure,
Jansen
yeah.
Wilson. Yeah, I was surprised to see him starting on day one as well. You know, I had known the name. We have a number of guys who will come through, especially during the summers when they're home from college and whatnot. Ryan Troutman, another player that we signed who went to Trinity and then skips around in college, played at both UK and U of L.
Jansen, the Marvin Stone of soccer.
Jansen, a very similar – that's a good reference, by the way. Jansen Wilson, similar story. Went to UK, finished out at Belmont, and you know, he's from Elizabethtown. So during the summer, he'll come and train with the team to stay in shape, help us with numbers. Obviously, when you have a season like we had last year and all the injuries, you know, you're kind of just looking for legs at some points. So you make use of guys like that, and you know, look, the MLS Super Draft is not for everybody, and I think Jansen came in. The way we understood it is he had a trial and he succeeded and he got signed. The way that he has played, you would not think he would have needed a trial. So I have to think that there is some surprise to it. But I did ask Danny Cruz about this after the game last night. It said, you know, that here's a guy pretty unheralded out of Belmont. You know, is he exceeding your expectations? And he kind of gave the, well, it doesn't really matter where a player comes from if they're a good player. And to me, it's clearly obvious when he plays that he has the tools. I mean, especially his agility and his ability to just be kind of shifty on and off the ball. Just the speed and pace that he has. I mean, it is clear that he's above average in a few categories. So it's really cool to be able to tell that story and see that. And just another example, Jansen was one of those guys that he mentioned his older brother had season tickets to the very first season of Louisville City. So he has been coming to these games for 10 years and grew up with the club, similar to Ryan Trautman. He's been coming to the game since 2015. So you're starting to see these stories pop up as the club matures a little bit and just gets some more time that, you know, playing for the boyhood club and all those stereotypes, that they're real here.
Yeah, that's one of the really cool things as Louisville City gets older and older. We're in year 10. It's the anniversary season. Such a big part of the storyline of this year. But, you know, maybe to guys like you and me who are now a little bit older, 2015 doesn't seem like that long ago. In some ways it does, but in other ways it doesn't.
You had a lot more hair back then.
I definitely did. I had a lot more hair back then. But for a guy like Jansen Wilson and Ryan Trautman, they have quite literally grown up. I mean, they went through their entire adolescence, all their teenage years, having a professional soccer team in town. And so for them, that is, you know, this is a little bit of a dream realized, I would imagine, to get out there on the field with this club and contribute. And in the case of Jansen Wilson, he's contributing big time. You talked about the agility. That's the thing that stands out to me the most watching him is the athleticism. He has real speed, real dynamism. He can take players on with the ball at his feet. And also what stands out based on what we saw last night and with one of his other two goals this year, he can really hit the ball. I mean, give him a spot, give him a look 20 to 25 yards away in the middle of the field. And he as much as anybody on the team, really, maybe outside of like Jake Morris, he can really hit the ball. And find those corners, find the top corner, like he did last night, the bottom corner in that case, if memory serves, in terms of exactly how he hit it. And by the way, if you haven't seen the goal, go find it. It was a great goal. Kind of hit it with the outside of his right foot, just really swung his leg through it at the top of the box about 20 yards away. Just a really, really terrific goal. And again, he's just been such a fun development this year for Louisville City for so many reasons, off the field, on the field, all the rest. So a win last night for Louisville City puts them 6 points clear of Charleston and Indy, as we said, in the standings. And now they will return home after this little road swing, going down to Tampa Bay, losing a heartbreaker over the weekend, going to Pittsburgh last night. Now looking ahead, it's Rhode Island coming into town on Saturday for Louisville City. They've already met once this year up in Rhode Island, but this is a new team, an expansion team. Their first season, they will be coming to Lynn Family Stadium for the first time. It's been a struggle for them, despite having a couple of big names, including Albert Dequa, the reigning MVP, on their inaugural roster in the USL. It's been a struggle for them. They're currently out of the playoff picture in the Eastern Conference. Just a handful of wins for them. It's a game at Lynn Family Stadium where you would expect Louisville City to win and win with authority. I'm not going to say they're going to blow them out, but based on what they've done to other teams this year, it's the kind of game where you would think that Louisville City could score 4 or 5 goals once again. Should be a fun night at Lynn Family Stadium, so come out and get your tickets and come see the game at 8 o'clock on Saturday night. However, Jonathan, I will make this point, and we can kind of transition the conversation here. You mentioned earlier the record pursuit that Louisville City has in terms of being the highest scoring team in USL history. Still, you would know better than me, but still in play right now, even though they've only scored the one goal last night. But what to me is concerning potentially is if the injury to Adrian Perez lingers on 2, 3, 4 months, if he's not back till August, September, maybe even as late as October, he's been such an impactful player for this team, such a crucial part of their attack, of their offensive output in terms of not only scoring himself, but having assists and just being involved in the flow of the play as Louisville City generates chances as a team. If he's going to be out for a long time, maybe that changes what this team's capability is in terms of scoring output over these weeks and months that he's going to be injured. And again, Danny Cruz deemed it a longer-term injury. Those were his words last week after the injury was made official, I guess, after he came out of the game against North Carolina. So what do you think about that take there, that maybe that his injury might impact how this Louisville City team plays over the next few months in terms of attacking and goal scoring.
Yeah, well, I'll start with the injury, too, because I have not heard anything new this week, but I think as of last week they were between, you know, is this something that's going to heal on its own or does it require a minor operation? And so that's why I think the timeline of when he comes back is a little bit of an unknown. It's a little different than preseason when Brian Omi got hurt, and yes, that requires a surgery, and you can kind of put a little bit more of a timestamp on that. So still waiting to hear more on how long Adrian might be out. I think best case scenario, they were talking about, you know, 8-ish weeks. So we'll see if he's here by the end of the summer. I would think if he has to have the operation, that's going to extend it another little bit. So, you know, he's the assist leader on the team, and I think he's another one similar to Jansen, different position, but you look at him and you're like, that's an athlete. He's a difference maker. He's maybe a little more built than Jansen. A little more power to push somebody off the ball if he wants to, or you know, he can really drive forward with the ball at his feet. And so we'll certainly miss that, but it's also a good year to have Ray Serrano, you know, maturing into what he is. I thought, you know, Jorge Gonzalez, he has not necessarily had the finishing touch all the time that he wants to have, but even last night put himself in a good position to score twice and just kind of got unlucky and shot it right at the goalkeeper. So I think we've got other guys, and, you know, part of talking about how deep this team is, you know, some of the guys who haven't even been able to really get on the field this year. You think about, you know, how little Amadou Dia has played and Carlos Moguel and some of these guys that have really been fixtures in our team. You know, they are itching to play and pushing for that every week in training and haven't been able to break in. So I think, you know, one injury is not necessarily going to ruin this team because we're so stacked at every position. And that's not to say that you can go 4 months into a season and just say, okay, go play. You haven't played all year. I mean, there's certainly an adjustment period there, but we are much better suited to deal with an injury than we were, you know, in the recent past.
Yeah, and it's been, despite the injury to Adrian Perez and also the injury to Brian Omby in preseason, it's been a healthier year for Louisville City so far, especially compared to last year. It seemed like every week last year it was a laundry list of five or six guys that were questionable or out or battling injury, trying to tough it out. It's been a much healthier team this year, but certainly those two injuries are big injuries to Onby and Adrian Perez.
And they play the same position.
That's why I talked about last week on the show. Maybe we see a guy like Jansen Wilson, not trying to coach for Danny Cruz, but just an outside observation.
I can text him if you want.
Yeah, but would you please, you know, just drop, maybe leave a note on his desk. Maybe we see a guy like Jansen Wilson move forward in the formation a little bit because you got a little bit of depth at wingback, like you talked about, with Amadou Dia not playing much despite being a regular starter the last 2 years for Louisville City. So there's a little more depth there along that back line. You got McFadden. You got Jansen Wilson. Those two guys have both contributed in the attack. Maybe. It's an option if they
need
it.
You've seen that a little bit with Sam Gliedel. I mean, he was definitely signed to play a wingback role in a 3-5-2 formation, and, you know, how good Jake Morris has been on the left and how good, you know, Jansen, and then you bring in Aiden McFadden on the right, plus when Wilson Harris hasn't been available, you know, basically moves him up. And I think we do have some versatile players like that. Maybe Jansen with his pace is somebody who can do that. But, you know, I think the wingback role and the nature of it, you kind of become interchangeable, and they do by default sometimes. I mean, you'll see somebody will chase forward. That means somebody's got to come back. And, you know, the other solution potentially is, I think, and you saw a little bit of this last night, you know, Danny might switch to a formation where you've got two guys up front and you're less reliant on those wing forwards. And it's more so, you know, whoever's in the position to move forward, you go forward there and kind of have that freedom to play. So when you've got a good team, I like to say, you know, put your best 11 out there and you'll get the results. And not so much about the formation as the mentality and the ability to just, like, literally go out there and be better.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the great signs from this Louisville City team this year, is they have that much depth, that much talent, and it's proving itself right now, again, in first place. Briefly, before we pause, and again, our guest today is going to be J.P. Rainall of the Women's Cup, that tournament returning to Louisville this summer at Lynn Family Stadium. International teams, big brand international teams, coming to Lynn Family Stadium on the women's side to compete in that tournament. We'll look ahead to that in a couple of minutes. But briefly, before we stop talking about Louisville City, let's talk about the kits. Let's talk about the uniforms, the jerseys. A lot of excitement you guys just announced earlier this week, I think it was, right?
Yep.
Wasn't it on Monday? Revealed the third kit for Louisville City, the future kit, as you guys have called it. a lot of excitement. Obviously, it's a shame that Benton isn't here today because he loves that kind of stuff. I'm sure he was first in line or the first to plunk down some money online.
He got a sneak peek, too. Yeah. I know to take care of him.
Just for anybody that wasn't paying attention and wasn't plugged into social media earlier this week, tell us about the kits. We're going to see them on Saturday when Louisville City takes on Rhode Island, correct?
Right. Team will be debuting them on Saturday. What I will say is we have been with Adidas for a really long time, and you get a certain number of templates to choose from, and we've used about all of them. And
right.
So we wanted to do something a little bit different this year, so we still went with that kind of black base. But this light blue color that we've had in our goalkeeper kits, those sell so well. We know there's interest in them. People like that color. We thought, let's do something different. We did some kind of research on the color light blue and kind of what it means, and found that it has a lot of ties to sort of like determination. And I know that gets kind of like weird and all,
right.
But it's marketing language at the end of the day. But we wanted to create a cool shirt that is wearable, and that's kind of where we landed on the future kit, which, you know, we've got the gold hoops that are the past. We have the purple that's the present, this light blue shade. That doesn't mean that we are changing our color. It's still just a third kit. I saw that tripped a few people up. But, you know, you see some zany things in soccer because you just can't wear the same color and
right.
shirt every year. I'm a Tottenham fan. They wear a white home shirt. The away kit and the third are just, like, wild every
yeah.
year. And it has nothing to do with their brand or their
any
colors.
Any kind of color. Well, just look this week. Everybody's watching the European Championships, right? The Euros.
Germany's wearing purple
and
pink.
That's exactly where I was going.
I texted somebody at the office, and I said, well, I guess they're purple and pink now.
Yeah,
change
like
colors
Germany, you wouldn't know it was Germany by looking at them based on their second kit. So yeah, it's a different look for Louisville City, but it's an exciting one.
Yeah, I can say it's sold pretty well. These things usually you see some detractors on the internet, and then I go to our team store folks, and they're like, actually, people love this, and they've been coming in the store, and the foot traffic's been great. So it seems like a winner so far. We'll see how things settle out on Saturday, and of course, we need the team to win while they wear them, or else Danny will
they
be reluctant to ever wear them again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, Saturday against Rhode Island at Lynn Family Stadium at 8 o'clock that game. So get your tickets at lucity.com/tickets. We'll take a timeout. We're going to talk about the Women's Cup, which is coming back to Lynn Family Stadium this summer with the CEO of that tournament, J.P. Rainall, here on Soccer City on ESPN Louisville.
You're listening to Soccer City on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, back to the latest on Louisville's professional soccer clubs.
That's right. We talk about Louisville's professional soccer clubs on this show every Thursday from 6 to 7 here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Racing Louisville, one of those Louisville professional soccer clubs, and they are going to be hosting, once again, the Women's Cup this summer, August 9th and the 13th at Lynn Family Stadium. Facing off with international foes from around the world, including some big-name international teams on the women's side of the game. It's an annual event now that's happened the last several years at Lynn Family Stadium. We've seen big-name teams like Bayern Munich in the event before, and we're going to have some big-name teams in the event once again this year. And the CEO of that event is J.P. Rainall. He is our guest today. Thanks, J.P., for taking some time to talk to us. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me on the show again.
It's an exciting time for you guys. Obviously, we got a couple of months to go before the start of this tournament, but you had an announcement about the Louisville part of the tournament anyway, around a week and a half ago, I guess it was, adding that fourth team to the field. So the field this year at Lynn Family Stadium will be, of course, Racing Louisville, Juventus from Italy, Palmeiras from Brazil, and then Colo Colo, who is a 15-time champion out of Chile. So a really exciting field with teams from three continents this year at the Women's Cup.
Yeah, it's going to be one of the best Women's Cups ever. We have truly just an incredible field. As you mentioned, obviously Juventus, the Italian champion, storied franchise, now really investing a lot of money into the women's team. And then from Latin America, really two incredible clubs. You know, women's soccer is growing exponentially in South America, and a lot of the top players in the world are now coming from the continent. And so we were able to secure the Brazilian champion, which is Palmeiras. They're also South American continental champions. And as you mentioned, Colo-Colo, the last edition, 15-time Chilean champion. So we think it's going to be really a truly outstanding event this year.
And it's not just a Louisville-based event this year. In years past, the tournament has been here. Obviously, you guys also added that preseason tournament down in Columbia earlier this year that Racing Louisville took part in. But the Summers Women's Cup is going to be a two-part event this year, not only here in Louisville, but also in Kansas City as well. So tell us a little bit about that. It's going to be almost like a second tournament this year out in Kansas City.
Yeah, that's right. So this year we implemented the Women's Cup Global Series. And the Women's Cup Global Series is essentially a series of events played in multiple continents, all crowning a champion and all those champions qualifying for a Final Four, which I'll tell you about in a minute. So the initial event played in Cali, Colombia, which saw Racing Louisville and NWSL's NWSL champions Gotham FC matching against the two top Colombian teams, crowned a champion, which was Gotham. Now, this summer, we're having two more events for the Global Series. One of them is in Louisville, and the other one is in Kansas City. The Kansas City field also has incredible teams from around the globe. African continental champion Mamelodi Sundowns from South Africa. The Japanese champions Kobe Enoch from Kobe, Japan, and Atletico de Madrid, which is 2023 Women's Cup champion, are going to be joining Casey Current on that particular tournament. So the Louisville tournament and the Kansas City tournament will crown champions that will qualify, along with New York Gotham FC, and a fourth tournament champion to be played in Madrid at the end of August for this Final Four event, which we'll tell you about more in the very near future.
Yeah, that sounds pretty exciting. And that kind of leads into what my next question was going to be. This event obviously has grown over the last couple of years. If you look largely, broadly, you touched on it a little bit talking about South America, but women's soccer continues to grow in importance and investment around the world, in both, you know, obviously the United States and then South America and Europe as well. Investment in the game is growing. Interest in women's sports generally is continuing to grow and climb to new highs. So my question is, is there a long-term future for the Women's Cup? What is the goal for this event? And obviously you guys visualize this as an even larger event longer term with this Final Four that you're talking about coming in the future.
Look, this is a great question. And the goal for the Women's Cup, really, the Women's Cup is now becoming a global soccer league of women's professional club soccer, right? And so, you know, we realized that, you know, there was a space for the Women's Cup to coexist along an already pretty packed schedule of commitments, correct? You have, obviously, the NWSL. This year, you will have also a USL Women's First Division League coming to play. So you'll have two professional leagues in the United States. You also have, I'm only now talking just at the club level, correct? And you also will have this, starting this year, a CONCACAF Women's Champions League, which is the equivalent of the European UEFA Champions League. So, but all these competitions are either national or regional. The Women's Cup is really the only opportunity that clubs from around the world have to compete against each other. So, for example, as you know, in 2022, we had a Japanese team come to play in the Louisville Women's Cup in Tokyo Verde. That was the first time ever that a Japanese club had gotten the opportunity to play against an American club or a European club. When Club America came, that was the first time also a Mexican club had come and played against a European club. This year, we have team from South Africa. First time ever a team from South Africa will play in the United States. First time ever a team from South Africa will play against an American club or a Japanese club. So these matchups that happen at the Women's Cup only happen at the Women's Cup. So I think for that reason, we consider ourselves a global tournament. And now with the decision we've taken to expand to multiple tournaments in different continents throughout the year, we're just reinforcing that concept that this is a great platform for international teams from all continents to meet and play.
Yeah, and what's also exciting about it, from a Louisville perspective and a Racing Louisville perspective, is you have Racing Louisville, which is a young organization and a young brand, right? Only about four or five years old since it was announced, Racing Louisville. And in this event specifically, they're going up against very established clubs and established brands like you talked about Juventus this year. In the past, Tottenham Hotspur has come to town to be a part of the event. AC Milan from Italy, Palmeiras from Brazil, on and on and on. You can name all the teams that have been a part of it. These big, you know, glamorous household name in the soccer world kind of brands. And it's an opportunity for a club like Racing Louisville, which is relatively young and is still establishing itself in many ways, to go head-to-head with established brands. So from that angle, it's also just an exciting event from a Louisville point of view. Also, my next question is from a Louisville point of view. You guys have returned to Louisville time and time again now over the years, bringing these big international brands to Louisville. So how would you rate the experience that these teams have had? I think Louisville people from this town would pride themselves seeing, hey, you know, these big clubs from big cities in Europe, in Italy and England and Germany, and elsewhere coming to town and seemingly enjoying their experience. So just, you know, give the listeners your perspective organizing these events about what makes Louisville such a unique market to host the Women's Cup now every year.
Well, we have a special relationship with Louisville, and the Women's Cup was born in Louisville. So Louisville will always be a host venue for the Women's Cup. As I mentioned to you, we're looking to grow. This year we're going to have 4 tournaments in 3 continents. Next year we're looking to grow to have 8 tournaments played in 5 continents. But there will always be a tournament in Louisville, because Louisville really, in my mind, has everything that that makes it a great venue and location for women's soccer. First of all, it's a world-class organization in Racing Louisville. Second of all, world-class training facilities, world-class stadium, world-class accommodations, and I think Louisville has it all. And as far as organizing and hosting an event of this magnitude, it's a perfect place.
Well, J.P. Reynal is our guest. He's the CEO of the Women's Cup, which is, again, coming to Lynn Family Stadium once again this summer, August 9th and August 13th, one of a number of tournaments under that brand happening around the world, as he has described to us. Tell the listeners, J.P., where they can find out more information and also where they can get some tickets for this event to see Racing Louisville take on those international teams like Juventus and Palmeiras and Colo-Colo of Chile.
Well, the tickets are now available at our website, thewomenscup.world. That's thewomenscup.world. You can also buy them at Racing Louisville's website or on SeatGeek. And, you know, if you haven't been to the Women's Cup yet, this is a great opportunity to go for the first time. If you've already been to the Women's Cup, you know the thrill of international play. And if you were lucky enough to be at the Women's Cup Finals in 2021 when Racing Louisville beat Bayern Munich in those 11 penalty kicks and those 3 incredible saves from Katie Lund, which had never played a professional match before, by the way. That was her professional debut. These great memories are made at these international, you know, these international tournaments. They're broadcast around the world. They're really, you know, an opportunity for great things to happen. So I think it's an experience for Louisville fans to be able to go there and enjoy great soccer.
And that's also an excellent point you make about Katie Lund. She's the primary example, I would say, of these tournaments as opportunities for players to kind of propel themselves forward in their careers. Because as you mentioned, Katie Lund, prior to that experience for her in the inaugural Women's Cup, had not been an experienced goalkeeper. And then after that, the next season, took over as Racing Louisville's starting goalkeeper. And that's a job that she has not relinquished, racking up 250 saves in her career with Racing Louisville since that time. So it's an opportunity not only for Louisville as a city to put themselves on a big stage, Racing Louisville as a club to put themselves on a big stage, facing off with international household name brands, but also an opportunity for these players to put themselves on a stage and maybe propel themselves forward in their careers. So for a number of reasons, a really exciting event, really cool that it's coming back to Louisville once again, and a lot of stuff for Louisville soccer fans to look forward to, again, coming up on August 9th and August 13th. At Lynn Family Stadium. JP, really appreciate your time. Enjoyed talking to you. And we look forward to seeing you this summer down at Lynn Family Stadium.
I'm thrilled to be back in Louisville and can't wait to see you guys. And you know, once again, there's something very important about this year's tournament, if I just may, one last comment. The growth of soccer in South America with the World Cup being played in Brazil this coming 2027. Is really just exponential. And these two teams you will see playing are some of the best of the continent. They'll be at the level, I think, of Racing and the European teams and Juventus. So it's really, really nice and incredible to see how the world has leveled up now and great women's soccer is being played around the globe. So can't wait to see everyone, and thank you so much for having me on the show.
Yep, thanks so much, JP. Appreciate your time. That's JP Reynal, the CEO of the Women's Cup, chatting with us here on Soccer City. We just talked about that event, which will feature Racing Louisville coming up in August. Well, Racing Louisville was in action last night in an absolutely thrilling game. I mean, top-level entertainment. Couldn't take your eyes off of it, but unfortunately Racing Louisville went down in defeat. What does that mean for them? Well, they're still in a playoff position. We'll chat about what it means for them when we return in our final segment. Soccer City here on ESPN Louisville.
You're locked on Soccer City, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, back to the latest on Louisville's professional soccer clubs.
You're locked on for the next 16 minutes or so. We're with you till 7 o'clock every Thursday, 6 to 7, Soccer City, where we talk Lou City and Racing Louisville. Racing also in action last night, that doubleheader of Louisville soccer action on CBS Sports Network. A thrilling game, a wild game, but not a game that went Racing Louisville's way. They go on the road out to Angel City, out in California in Los Angeles. They trailed 2-0. They got back into the game, tied at 2-2. There were spells in the second half where you felt like they were going to be able to take the lead and come out with a win on the road against a very beatable opponent, you'll say, about Angel City. But it just wasn't meant to be. Sidney LaRue, in the 85th minute or so it was, scored the winner for LA to take Racing Louisville down. They will continue this road trip on Sunday up in Seattle to take on the Seattle Reign in another very winnable game. But we'll get to that in a moment. What I want to start with, Jonathan, with this game last night, it just cemented to me the take that you hear from soccer people about the NWSL all the time is that the league is very athletic with big physical players who can run really fast, and it's very transitional. European coaches, English coaches and players will particularly make the point that in Europe it's a much more possession-based style. It's a little bit slower. Teams value the ball more. They want to pass it around their, you know, between their players before trying to build up to a chance. Whereas in the NWSL, it is we win the ball, we look ahead, we're going ahead, we're trying to drive it right down your throat every opportunity. And that's the reputation of the league, and that's the conversation that happens around the league so very often. And often it is very true, but last night to me just was the epitome of that. In so many ways, between Angel City and Racing Louisville, it felt like a very choppy game. It felt like you couldn't take your eye off of it because all it would take is one or two passes and the team would be in, whichever team it was, Racing or Angel City, they would be in for a goal-scoring opportunity. And in many ways, that's the way Angel City scored the winning goal. It was very quickly taken from back to front for Angel City. And it just epitomized that point about the transitional nature of the league and also the fact that the margins in this league are so thin. It is an incredibly competitive league. I was trying to think about it. Compared to any other sport that anybody generally watches, NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, college football, college basketball, I can't think of a more competitive league, a league that is driven by parity more than the NWSL. You can show up on any given day and win or lose depending on how you play that day because the teams are all so talented. They're all more or less very close to each other in terms of that talent level. And that was on display last night. A game that Racing Louisville easily could have won. They also easily could have drawn. Instead, they come out with a loss. And on a day-to-day basis, a game-to-game basis in the NWSL for a team like Racing that is trying to break through into the playoffs for the first time in their history, they've got to show up to play, and you can't afford to turn off for even a single moment because teams will make you pay, and that's what Angel City did last night.
Yeah, we obviously talk around the office about the games and reflect on them. It's not always on the radio, but I came to this realization sort of recently. It feels like a lot of the goals in the NWSL are the product of a negative play instead of a positive play. I feel like we watch the Lou City games and we go, what a great cross in, what a shot, what a goal. And it feels like, to your point, I mean, so much of these games are played in the midfield, and then it just bang, bang, there's a couple passes. Maybe a defender gets out of position. Maybe it's a back pass that goes wrong because there's so much pressure and they're so quick to get to the ball. And it feels like nobody really wants to take a risk, and then they still end up paying for it. And maybe that speaks to the margins and the, just how close things are. But, I mean, it's like this every year. It shows up on the table where you talk all season, well, Racing loses a game, so they're out of the playoff picture. They win a game, so they're back in the playoff picture. And that's happening with, like, half the league every single weekend. You've got now, you look at the table, there is a little separation of two games from, you know, that top five to the sixth spot. But then sixth place Chicago Red Stars, 17 points. 12th place Bay FC, 12 points.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be like this down to the end. And Racing is in eighth place, right on that cut line, level with Angel City. I think they're just ahead on goal differential.
Yep.
And it doesn't appear that, you know, there's just much difference between many of these teams. And that's despite all the external factors. I mean, Angel City, tons of investment. Not saying we don't have tons of investment here, but they have all the celebrity owners. They have all the people in the stands at the games.
I want to say, I said this on air last night on the other station with the Racing Louisville game. The video review monitor, which is on the sideline in soccer, strangely, I think it's a little bit weird to me. I don't know why they don't put it somewhere not where fans are, right in front of the referee's face when they go to review plays. But last night, they went over when the referee awarded Racing Louisville the penalty that got them back into the game late in the first half. It looked like Harrison Ford was sitting right behind the monitor where the referee had to go review this penalty kick. And I was like, what is that? I swear it was him. I don't know that anybody else saw that or confirmed that, or if it was out on social media or not, but it looked like him. But that just plays into your point. The investment into this team, the celebrity ownership, they get 20,000 fans a game out there in L.A. They had a great number last night.
They've never made the playoffs.
Right! Yes! They've never made the playoffs, and yet still have all that investment, all that interest. And that was on display last night. The margins are just so thin. Like you were talking about in the standings, it is just a log jam. And on any given day, anybody can beat anybody. You got to show up to play every single night in this league. And not just show up to play every single night, but show up to play every single moment. Because all it takes is one moment for someone, like you said, a defender to be out of position, somebody to turn off mentally just for a second, and you'll get beaten. The opponent will take advantage. That's what happened last night with Racing Louisville, and it was a winnable game. I said it a minute ago, and coming into the game, it felt that way, that over this two-game road trip against teams that were below them in the standings, I feel like Racing needed to win one of these two games to maximize this road trip. Feel like you came out of this road trip with a positive result. You needed to win one of these two games. You had 11th place Angel City last night. Couldn't come out with a win in a very winnable game. The way it played was a very winnable game. It was right there for Racing Louisville many times in the second half. So you don't win that one. Now they go on the road on Sunday to Seattle. And typically you would say Seattle's a very difficult team to beat. Regularly one of the better teams in the NWSL, but it's a different Seattle team this year. They lose Rose Lavelle to free agency in the offseason. They obviously lose Megan Rapinoe to retirement in the offseason. So it's a different look for them, and they are second from the bottom in the standings right now. So I say, Jonathan, that this is a game. It's not a must-win. I'm not going to call it a must-win for Racing Louisville, but it's the kind of game that they need to start winning more regularly against teams below them in the standings if Racing is going to be a regular playoff contender, and indeed this season in and of itself be a playoff contender. It's the kind of game that you feel like they should be able to win.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're not walking into the Seattle of old. They did just draw Portland, and Portland's in the top half of the table, but You know, I think we're all waiting to see if this racing team is going to be a different team or if it's going to kind of be the same. I think every season has ended in ninth place so far. Ninth place is one spot out of the playoffs. Can they be that one spot better? Yes, in moments. I mean, every team, though, has had their moments, and it's kind of who is going to put them all together. I mean, you look at the run that Kansas City has gone on this year. Obviously, they have a lot of momentum around their stadium, great home environment. You look at Orlando in second place. They signed one player, Barbara Banda, and they just go on a roll, and I don't think they've lost since. So, you know, it seems like teams are able to put bits and pieces of form together, but it's sort of been racing's downfall that they've never been able to do that. Never have won three straight league games. Last year we did have a three-game winning streak during the Challenge Cup group stage. Never that third straight league game. And I think it's my feeling that if we're going to make the playoffs, that needs to happen at some point to kind of, you know, that there's mental factors, I think, as well, of like, okay, we've arrived, we are good enough to do this. We're still a young core of a team, and I think that's going to be important in getting over the hump, is actually having some consistency and not just being in this like rock fight every week of, okay, we won one, we drew one, we lost one, and we're kind of back where we started.
Yeah, but that's the scenario that we're in right now with Racing Louisville, it feels like, right? They had won two straight games. They were unbeaten in three games. If you go back to May 18th, they had a 3-3 draw at Kansas City. You just mentioned they're the league leaders, one of the best teams in the league this year. They are able to get a point in a wild game in that one. They go up to Chicago. They win that game 1-0. They come home. They beat Houston 2-0. And you think, hey, they've got momentum. They're rolling in the right direction. They're into the playoffs now after being on the outside looking in for the majority of the start of the season. They're into that top eight. And then they had the opportunity last week at home against Gotham on ESPN. A big potential momentum swing and also a big opportunity to make a statement to the rest of the league. Didn't go their way. It was, frankly, a really poor performance from Racing Louisville in that loss. They turn around, go to Angel City, and drop a game that was right there for the taking last night. And now suddenly you go from winning two straight games to losing two straight games. And for Racing Louisville, a club, a team that is every year, seemingly, on the bubble of making the NWSL playoffs, as you just pointed out, finishing in ninth place every year, they've got to find that next level of consistency, getting results on a regular basis. Not, you mentioned winning three straight games. That would be wonderful. How about just going on maybe a four- or five-game unbeaten run with at least a couple more wins than ties, maybe where you win three and tie two or something like that. Just one of those kinds of runs where you are consistently getting points week in and week out to bolster yourself in the standings a little bit. That's the kind of consistency that this team needs. And you mentioned it's a young core. It is. Young head coach, Bev Yanez, her first year ever as a head coach, despite being a player in the league forever, NWSL MVP finalist prior to her coaching career. But she's going through growing pains as well as the team is. But that's really the next key for this team, is finding that consistency. And maybe they can find it on Sunday against Seattle, again, a very winnable game against a team that is second from the bottom, that is changing their identity, having lost a couple of their big stars from last year's team. And it's an opportunity, if they can get a result in that game, to then get some momentum, because we're looking ahead to the Fill the Fam game for Racing Louisville. That's their next home game coming up on June 29th. That's a week from Saturday, so 9 days away from now. It's a 4:00 kickoff at Lynn Family Stadium. On ESPN, once again, another nationally televised opportunity for Racing Louisville against Bay FC, the expansion team that has lots of energy, lots of enthusiasm around them this year, coming to town, and it's Fill the Fam. So hopefully there will be a great crowd on hand like we saw for the Thunder over Louisville game, where there were 11,300 in the stands to see Racing win 5-1 over Utah.
Too.
Yeah, of course it did. And hopefully that's the kind of output we see from Racing Louisville in that game. So these next two games, is the point I'm making, are crucial for Racing Louisville for a number of reasons. They can win a game on the road against a team below them in the standings on Sunday and then return home and have another one of these galvanizing moments before a big crowd on national TV where they could really make a statement to the local market, to local soccer fans, and the league as a whole that this team is for real. That's what's coming up the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and to kind of take it over to the Louisville City conversation, I mean, this is a team that they've said, we want to win at home, and then we want to scratch out results on the road. I think Racing needs to start winning games at home,
yep,
taking advantage of those opportunities. And if you look at their resume, that's kind of what's missing. They they're just as good on the road as they are at home. The unfortunate part of that is you know, they've lost as many as they've won at home. And I think if you can get those results, to your point, take advantage of these big moments. So there will be a good crowd next weekend. I think there will be a good crowd on August 24th when they come out of that Olympic break, and it's been a while for the regular season. I think you're going to see some of these moments, and the teams that they're going to play at home, Bay FC, Chicago, Seattle, they're not the teams that are striking fear in anybody right now. And that's not to downplay that, you know, any team can beat anybody in this league, but it's not the same as having an informed Kansas City or Orlando or Washington.
These teams Portland, at the top of the table.
You need to take care of business, and I think Racing has the schedule the second half of the season that if they take care of business at home, they will make the playoffs, and I think that's going to be the difference maker.
Yeah, that's the phrase, take care of business. Do what you're supposed to do. Do what you would be expected to do. Beat the teams you're supposed to beat. If Racing Louisville can beat the teams that they're supposed to beat, they ought to be a playoff team. It figures that they would be a playoff team come the end of the year. And you're talking about this return to the regular season after the Olympic break, after the mid-season tournaments, like the Women's Cup, which we just talked about earlier. When they return to the regular season on August 24th, it is a stretch where they play Chicago at home, Seattle at home, on the road at Bay, the expansion team. Then they come back home for two more games, Angel City at home and North Carolina at home, before then traveling to Utah. So that little stretch there, 4 of 5 games at home, and then if you want to extend it to the sixth game against a team that you clobbered earlier this year, you ought to be confident going into that one, even though it is away from home. That's a real opportunity for Racing Louisville to make some hay after that Olympic break. Now, the other part of the conversation is that it's almost like a second season in so many ways. So can they come out of that break playing well? Lots to talk about as regards that stretch. But for the here and now, Racing Louisville with a big opportunity on Sunday against Seattle, a team they can beat. And then they'll return home for Phil the Fam, trying to set another record crowd at Lynn Family Stadium on Saturday, June 29th, 4 o'clock. Head to racingloufc.com/tickets to get your seats for that one. Fun times right now around all of Louisville soccer, generally speaking. Always nice to have you on, Jonathan, once again.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I got invited back quicker this time.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. That'll do it for Soccer City every Thursday from 6 to 7 o'clock, where we talk all things Louisville City and Racing Louisville here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. And also, don't forget, a home game this weekend for Louisville City. Get your tickets, loucity.com/tickets. They take on Rhode Island. Should be worth the price of admission. An expansion team against one of the best teams in Louisville City history coming up on Saturday. That'll do it for us.